we're all set to go. I have all the technicalities taken care of, and today I want to cover some things that are very important for all the churches of God. The church wars are up and heated again, and too many of the churches of God are fighting each other. Now, that's just kind of the nature of the seven churches. However, let's go back to Revelation 2 and 3. Let's look at the seven churches there. I know we've covered them before, but these are very important. Some people have said, well, Jesus never wrote anything in the Bible. Well, that's not quite exactly true. If he inspired all of it, then he did write. He had secretaries, didn't he? Yes. However, Revelation 2 and 3 are different. These are personal letters to the churches of God. Christ is the head of the church. No man. Now, if you don't have the booklet, is the ministry is not the government of God, be sure and get it. Online, we have quite a few sermons dealing with church government. Christ is the head. And let's understand something very important. We are all, by the Holy Spirit, directly connected with God the Father and Jesus Christ. There is no man in between. No man in between. Now, just like with the children of Israel, God started out with them with the system of judges, remember? And the system of judges was to be so that everyone would have equality within the land. But the people didn't like that. So they wanted a king like all the other nations. Well, God gave it to them. So be careful what you ask for, because God may give it to you, but the results may not be what you desire. And he told them that as long as they kept his commandments, and that the king would be righteous, that he would be with them and bless them. However, none of the kings of Judah, after it was split off, the 10 tribes, ever sought God. Not one. They wanted freedom of worship, so what did they do? They went to Baal worship. Golden calf. Ashtaroth. Thinking they're doing right. Judah still had the king. Some of the kings were very good. God blessed them, fought for them, were with the people. Now we have all the history of Israel. We have the New Testament writings to the church of the first century. And what we have in Revelation 2 and 3 is a prophetic history of the churches of God from the time of the Apostle John to Christ's return. So the things we have learned about church eras, and let me just say this, church eras and the churches listed in Revelation 2 and 3 are not defined by an organization, especially a corporate organization. You've heard the saying in the past, stay in this organization because if you go somewhere else, you're not going to receive salvation. You heard that? Okay. No, that's not true. You must be right with God the Father and Jesus Christ directly, not through an organization, nor to have a ministry set itself up as a hierarchy like the Israelites did in setting up kings. And there have been so many mistakes that have been made in the churches of God that it seems as though they never learn a lesson. See, God intervenes with his churches. Now, what we find in Revelation 2 and 3 are the major things that cuts the people off from God. And when he says to the angel, that also can mean to the messenger, In other words, it then is to the ministry concerning their service to the church. And it is also a message to each of the churches, each one of us individually, because we can all from time to time have any one of the attitudes of the seven churches. So these letters are direct from Christ to his church. So this is the closest that Jesus came to writing directly something in the Bible, but he had John write it for him. So it's just like if you get a letter and a secretary typed it, but whose signature is on it? So I'm not going to go through each one in detail, but I want to cover some specific things that we need to be aware of. Some specific things that the churches of God, Jesus forewarned, they would do. And then also, he gives the solution of repenting, and then he ends each letter with a very signature message. The one who has ears to hear, let him hear. Okay? So let's begin the church at Ephesus. To the angel of the Ephesian church write. Now you know this message is direct from Christ. All seven letters. These things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand and who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. Now this is not the menorah that was next to the Holy of Holies in the temple or tabernacle. Those represent the seven spirits of God. These are like in a circle because you can't be in the midst of a straight line like a menorah would be. These are in a circle. Christ is in his church. Christ is the head of his church. Christ is leading and directing each one of us. And I like what Michael said, that he's staffing for the kingdom. He says, I know your work. So he knows everything we do. He commended them because they tested all of those who were evil, found out those who were false apostles and lied. They endured. They didn't grow weary. But notice what he says here, verse 4. This becomes the important thing. And this is the major test commandment of God. See, all commandments are test commandments, are they not? But here's the major one, because everything in your relationship with God flows from this. So this is the first one that he brings out. Nevertheless, I have this against you because you have left your first love. Now, what is the first love? Greek there is protos. Protos means primary. Now, what is our first love? Got to be God the Father and Jesus Christ, correct? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your being, and all your strength. Isn't that true? See, and this is what they began to fail to teach. This is the most important thing to teach. See, because when you come to church on the Sabbath, we're together for what? Well, if we have all-day services and we come early and we stay late, maybe 6 hours, right? And we don't see each other again except if we live close enough or by phone or now by email, or you can even do a laptop face-to-face, but, you know, that still you're not with the person. So this applies to what the church is teaching and preaching. This applies to each one of us individually. And this is why those who are teaching and preaching need to learn the lesson. Don't get so involved in work and doing things and building buildings and creating schools. That's good to have schools if you teach what is right. Wouldn't you agree to that? Now he says, therefore remember from where you have fallen and repent and do the first works. Now, loving God is the primary work. See? For if you do not, I will come to you quickly and will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. Now, we've seen that happen in our age, right here. Right here in Southern California. And a lot of people say, wonder why it happened. Because of what the ministers did not do, and what they did do, and what the brethren did not do, and what the brethren did. See, everybody's involved. You can't blame and say the minister unless you stand for the truth in spite of him. So when something goes wrong among the whole group, you can't say it's his fault. He may have a great deal of difficulty and problems in it. Maybe it's 90% his fault, whoever the leader may be. But then how many people went along with it? Now, I did on transhumanism, and I mentioned about Christmas, how everybody, you know, falls in like lemmings for Christmas. And this was on Church at Home, and Randy just finished that one. What was that one?
Number six,
yeah. Transhumanism number six. And he showed the crowds just rushing in the department stores to buy their Christmas presents, running all over each other, stomping on each other. And then he got some pictures of lemmings running out over the cliff. Very effective. But you know, too many in the churches of God are like that. Left their first love. Okay? They have one thing. But this you have, verse 6, you hate the work of the Nicolaitans, which then is a hierarchical structure of church government. Okay, we'll cover about who is to rule you. How should the ministers conduct their ministry? And these are the things that Jesus expects us to make observations and judgments concerning how we are conducting our lives before him, and also how the ministers who are teaching them are conducting their lives and what they are doing. Because if there's one thing that is very important to understand, the principle of a little leaven, right? A little leaven leavens the whole lump. And if these things grow and grow and grow and grow and grow, then God has to intervene and correct. Isn't that true? Did he do it? Yes, he did. So what those ministers who are building replica auditoriums and buildings and asking brethren to mortgage their home, first, second, third mortgage, sell your home, cash in your IRA, your 401k, your KEO account, send it in, we're going to build buildings. Is that what God wants? Buildings aren't wrong, but they can't come until the brethren are taught how to have a relationship with God. Look at what happened when we had all the buildings, huh? Everyone said it was beautiful, it's nice. I've got a picture taken by Robert MacDonald III. How many remember him? Photographer? I've got a nice picture framed up. Right at the top of the stairs going up on the campus where the water would come and then go downstream. And there I'm sitting with some other students, and it shows beautiful picture of Pasadena and the background with no smog and all the mountains. You know, and you look at that, and everybody said one time or another, this is just like the kingdom of God on earth. All right. Is God more interested in building buildings and taking money? Or is he interested in the brethren and the ministers repenting and being converted? So this is not an attack upon ministers who do those things. It is an analyzation of the facts of what have happened in the past, and beware. Your space of time, unless you repent, is going to be a whole lot shorter. See? Now, the church at Smyrna, they didn't have any problems. They gave their lives. They didn't necessarily have a whole lot of doctrinal understanding, but they were faithful, they were loyal, they stood unto death, and Jesus said, I'm going to give you a crown of life. All right. Now let's come to one of the real problem churches, the next two churches, and we've seen some of this too. Next church is in Pergamos or Pergamon. Now there was a big temple dedicated to Zeus. That was where Satan's throne was. And the king of Pergamos willed to the Roman Empire everything of Pergamos, its religion, its temple, and everything. So what you have then is the Babylonian mystery religions coming down, being built up there in Pergamos, and then passed on to the Roman Empire. But notice what happens when you are right in the middle of where Satan dwells, or in the world we're living today. Is he deceiving the whole world or not? Yes, he is. Now notice how he introduces himself here, verse 12. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things says he who has a sharp two-edged sword. He's giving a warning. Has he used this before? Yes, he has. What is he upset about? Why does he warn them? All right, let's read it. I know your works, and we all have works. We're going to be judged according to our works, are we not? Everyone's going to have to give an account to God, are we not? Individually? Yes, indeed. Okay. And where you dwell, where the throne of Satan is, but you are holding fast my name and did not deny my faith, even in the days in which Antipas was my faithful witness or martyr who was killed among you where Satan dwells. Well, after that, they didn't remain faithful. But I have a few things against you because you have there those who hold the teaching of Balaam. And Balaam wanted to curse the children of Israel, couldn't do it. So after Balaam tried to curse seven times, and he could only bless seven times, then he told Balak, you can seduce them by having a nice religious festival out here, get all the beautiful women of the empire, get all of the best food. Remember, they've been eating manna for 40 years, and they haven't had any meat. And so the wafting over of the lambs and the goats and the oxen cooking, that boy, that'll get them to say, come on over. We're good people. Come and be with us. Look it. Don't worry about it. Just a little food will help you out. What did God say? You should not eat any bread until you entered into the promised land, and it was made from the harvest of that crop. Okay? Now, the same thing applies here today with the churches of God. How do the Protestants grow their churches, and how do they preach? Same thing. And what has happened with some of the doctrine? Well, that gets a little deep in Thyatira there. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. Now, I saw a recent, Randy sent it to me just yesterday, and I saw it on Albert's iPad. See? He said, Fred, I want to show you something. So here are two presenters on a Church of God website trying to explain that we celebrate the resurrection through the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Nowhere does it say celebrate the resurrection, does it? Little leaven leavens the whole lump. Why would that come up that way? Remember the first thing that happened before the changes began? Remember what that was? It was impossible for Jesus to sin. Remember that? And he was 100% man, 100% God. Remember that? Now, all of this sounds very logical, but it's not true. How did that happen? Because all the brethren were never taught beyond the basics. It's like coming to school every week, but you never get out of sandbox. And if you do, the highest you're able to go is to the third grade box. Whereas God is preparing us for eternal life to reign as kings and priests. So therefore, we need to complete knowledge of God's word as much as we can, especially in the age that we are living. See? So you see how all of these things has affected the church of God. And it's affected every one of you. It's affected me. All right, let's read on here. To eat things sacrificed to idols and commit fornication. Now, spiritual fornication then is incorporating the practices of other religions. That's why Christ's bride is going to be a virgin. If you commit fornication, you're no longer a virgin, right? Is that correct? Yes. Eating sacrifice to an idol. That is changing the Passover to communion and the Eucharist and the Mass, which got developed even more in Thyatira. So let's see what Jesus said to them. Moreover, you also have those who hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Overbearing hierarchy of a ministry. Did you ever go to church in the past? It was a fearful experience because of what was said? Yes, indeed. Jesus said we're to do what? Love one another as he loved us, right? We're not to have all this fear and hell and fire and brimstone. And if you don't follow me, and if you're not in this organization, and if you don't send in your money and sell your house, it's nothing but fear. Is that the love of God? We're to fear God. Yes. We're to love God. But ministers cannot get up and cover their sins when everybody else knows what was going on and saying, what you've been hearing is only rumors and gossip. And you're all a bunch of dumb sheep. No, what it really was underground truth because you wouldn't face it. And when I heard you're all a bunch of dumb sheep, I said to myself, that may be true. But does God want us to remain dumb? What are we to do? We're to grow up unto Christ. Is that not true? Yes, indeed. Because, see, God loves us. God cares for us. See, so here they had men coming in as, well, what do we have with the Roman Catholics? Oh, we got the Pope. And then we have the cardinals. And then we have the bishops. And then we have the archbishops. And then we have the priest. And then we have the deacons. And then we have the teachers. All a hierarchical thing. And the Catholics say that if you do not belong to the Catholic Church, there is no salvation. Probably the other way around. If you belong to it, you don't have salvation. See? And the only one man to be the initiator and originator of truth is who? The resurrected Christ. No pope, no apostle, no evangelist. See? Now we'll see the purpose of the church in a little bit. But see, these are direct messages from Christ. Now notice what he says here, verse 16. Repent, for if you do not repent, I will come to you quickly and will make war against them with the sword of my mouth. Now how about that? Would Jesus fight against his own church because of sin? He says so. He's going to do it with the sword of his mouth. What is that? Whatever his word says is the penalty for the sins that are being committed, that's the sword that's going to cut him asunder. Then he says, verse 17, the one who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who overcomes. So what do they have to overcome? They have to overcome that. Now the church of Thyatira, boy, they really got themselves in deep, deep trouble. And is perhaps the worst of all the churches. Now, they did have love, they did have works, they did have faith. Verse 19, and the last are more than the first. But I have a few things against you, verse 20, because you allowed the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and eating things sacrificed to idols. That is a perfect description of the Roman Catholic Church. Jezebel was the daughter of the priest of Baal that King Ahab of Israel married. And what religion did they have in the northern 10 tribes? Baal worship. Who was the only one to speak for God? Elijah. And when he had the confrontation when the drought was going to end, and had all the priests of Baal come and give their sacrifice at Mount Carmel, he asked the Israelites. He said, how long do you jump from one opinion to another? That is, as to who is Lord. If it's God, get on his side. So then, do you know what happened with the sacrifices? And you know, Elijah's prayer was very short. God answered with fire, etc. Now here's what God always does. Verse 21. And I gave her time to repent of her fornication, but she did not repent. No, she even got worse. Brought out the Inquisition. Killed those who were trying to follow Christ. Behold, now, next two verses are very, very important to be considered. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation. Now, that's when they had the bubonic plague, when they had all the wars just before the beginning of the Reformation. What was that, 200, 300 years? How'd you like to live back then? You know, I get up in the morning and I turn on the hot water and I think, wonder how many people had that in the history of the world? Hot water. Run out to the kitchen, push a button, stove goes on. Push a dial and a button, and you've got an oven. Want a little heat? Touch a thermostat. Want a little light? Flick of the switch. You cold? You got a closet full of clothes. Want something to eat? You go to a supermarket and the world is right in front of you. And I think many times, how are we as God's people supposed to respond to God when we live in a world like this and everything is right there and we put God on the side because we get so busy living? So, you know, sometimes it's really good to think of that. And how about when you're traveling? Get in your car. Go on a plane. And wherever you go, there's one convenience that a lot of the world doesn't have in the same way. And that's called a bathroom. See, now we have all of these things so we can develop the kind of relationship with God that he wants us to have. Now notice what he says. Unless they repent of their works. So God always offers repentance. Always remember that, brethren. Now, verse 23 tells us something. The first sentence reads, and I will kill her children with death. Now, think about that for a minute. If you kill someone, are they dead? What does it mean to kill with death? Does that also mean the lake of fire? Could very well, because if you kill someone, they're dead. But if you kill them with death, is this talking about the second death? Possible. And all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the reins and the hearts, and I will give to each of you according to your works. Now, God is going to do that. Like Michael brought out, God is a God of promises and he fulfills them. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. See, he's called us to the greatest thing that can possibly be. Eternal life. He's given us of his spirit. He's given us his word. And now at the end time, we have all the word of God. And he's given us all of these things and a lot of technology to really get the gospel out. So my prayer for every one of the churches of God, not to condemn them, but that they would examine their lives and their works and their attitudes, just like all of us are to do in our lives, are we not? and do like Jesus said, repent. Do the things that are right. Treat the other churches as brothers and sisters in Christ. We're not going to steal anybody. We don't want your money. Matter of fact, we can probably help you. You want to set up some schools? Contact us. We'll sell you some books that have the truth. Perhaps a lot more truth than you may have because you've stuck with the little booklets that were kindergarten and grade school. Glad to help you. So that the primary thing can be is to feed the church of God and preach the gospel in the way that God would have us do it. Let's not label each other enemies. We pray for all the churches of God every day. We know people in them, don't we? Do we wish them harm? No. We wish that they grow and change and overcome and attain to the kingdom of God. Is that not right? Yes, indeed, that's what God wants in it. And that's what I'm trying to convey here in this. But also, we must stand for the truth, and we must defend the truth, and we must not be deceived by clever men who have set themselves up in high places. Seat right up here, that'll do. Okay. And we better all yield to God. Now, because you know the rest, Sardisites, their works were not complete. Philadelphia, they stayed faithful, but he warned them, don't let anyone take your crown. And he encouraged them because they were faithful to the word of God. And then the Laodiceans, they got rich and increased with goods, and you know the rest of the story from that. And he said, I stand at the door. I'm knocking. You going to open up and let me in? What is it that you've done with your life? What is it that it's going to be for you? Okay? And in every case, he tells us to repent. All right. Well, I think it's about time for us to take a break, so I'll continue after the break. And we have one announcement coming here. Okay, thank you. Oh, yes, we will be here March 10th again, coming down the 10th of March.